Lord, I'm thankful that you chose to unite yourself to us. Thankful that you want to bring us that love and acceptance, that intimacy to our lives. I pray for the heart hurting today, that you would heal that hurt. Lord, like a faithful spouse, you want to spend more time with us. We often ignore you and go our own way. But Lord, we're here today to gather with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Who's heard a sermon on marriage before? All right. Who has an opinion about marriage? All right. Well, in case today you're excited to hear if you agree or disagree with Rob's interpretation, you got to come back next week. I'm buying myself one more week of prep, all right? Because something I noticed, a lot of times we'll go to this passage in Ephesians 5, about husbands, wives, and roles, what God wants. And pretty much every verse, and about half of every verse in that section in Ephesians 5, is about Christ and the church. And we usually gloss over that saying, okay, but let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Is this my view or not? And so to just keep us from the temptation of missing that, we're doing this sermon in two parts. And we're starting off by focusing on Christ and the church and what Ephesians 5 has to teach us on that. And actually just one verse, you'll see it in your bulletin, it mentions that marriage is an illustration of Christ and the church. And I thought through the Bible. The Bible is filled with broken marriages and messed up families. And throughout the week, this last week, I think the sermon last week on our broken sexuality, it brought up some wounds. And we all have them. And in case you're wondering, we'll go to this next slide. In case you're wondering, if your life doesn't look like a Hallmark movie, which most of us aren't, okay, can God work with that? And the answer is yes. You can't find a family in the scripture that wasn't messed up. And yet God was faithful to those families. Even the lineage of Jesus has many prostitutes and just messed up situations. Children born out of wedlock, all sorts of stuff. And yet, the lineage of the Messiah was to cut through that brokenness to bring what was originally intended at the very beginning. And so today, we're talking about the greatest love story ever told. It's better than Hallmark. Okay, a couple days ago, we were watching a Hallmark movie, and then I got called to a nursing home. Showed up there. Guess what was on the TV in the nursing homes? You bet. All right? But this is the love story between us and God. It's nitty gritty. Okay? And there's a story in the scriptures. It was actually my first Sunday here that Brad Scheidemann preached on Hosea. And we're going to spend most of our time in Hosea today. And I'm going to show you why. Let's go to Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. The Lord said to Hosea, "Go and marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods." So there are 14 chapters in Hosea, and it's messy, okay? And God says, this relationship, Hosea, that you have with a promiscuous spouse that won't stay faithful, that's a lot like my relationship with my people. And God is saying, I feel it the same way. When I have chosen these people, I have created these people, I sustain these people, I'm giving my all to these people, and they turn their backs on me. God is saying, I feel it the same way. You see, God has emotion. He created us in His image. He feels anger. He feels betrayal. He knows what it's like to be madly in love. He feels the soaring love, and yet He also feels the lows along with it. Have you ever met someone that's recently engaged, and all they can talk about is how wonderful this other person is? So excited. Soaring highs, right? But with that comes scarring lows, as sometimes that bubble bursts a little bit as time goes on. We'll go to this Ephesians here, just for this verse. It says that this idea of marriage, one of the purposes of sexuality is to show the intensity of intimacy and the intensity of that betrayal. It says here, as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and has joined his wife. The two are united into one. This is a great mystery. But most importantly, he's trying to say here, this is an illustration of how Christ and the church are one. He's saying that God feels it the same way, that we're meant, as a verse last week said, the body's not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. We're meant to be unified with God. And we are not a good spouse. I am not a good spouse. You are not a good spouse to God. We're unfaithful. And we've left, we've betrayed the marriage, we've separated ourselves from Him through our sin. Hosea chapter 1, verse 6, if you'll look at there now with me, it says the following. So Hosea has this wife, and she starts having children with other men. And Hosea is just acknowledging, this is not right. They have a daughter, and they name her Not Loved. It's not my daughter, for I will no longer show love to the people of Israel or forgive them, the Lord says. And he has a son, and he's told to name the son Not My People, for Israel is no longer my people, and I'm not their God. Chapter 2, verse 2, talks about this marriage. It says, now bring charges against Israel, your mother, for she's no longer my wife, and I'm no longer her husband. God's acknowledging that His people have left Him. He's acknowledging that something's wrong in the family here. We've left God. Chapter 2, verse 13. That whole chapter talks about us leaving God. At one point here in verse 13, it says, she put on her earrings and her jewels and went out to look for her lovers and forgot all about me. How do you think that makes God feel? Not very good. But, he says, I will win her back once again. You see, God is not a spouse to give up. He says, I'm going to fight for this thing. Because I love her. Chapter 2, verse 16. He says, I'm going to win her back. I'm going to restore that relationship that was meant from the very beginning. And when that day comes, says the Lord, you will call me husband again instead of master. That word master is Baal, which is the name of the gods that they were worshiping and cheating on God with. He says, you'll call me, you'll say my name and not the name of that ex, right? Oh, Israel, I will wipe the name of Baal, okay, the name of your other lovers. I will wipe them from your lips. You will never mention them again. Chapter 2, verse 19. I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. I will be faithful to you and make you mine. You will finally know me as the Lord. That day is referenced. Well, let's go to chapter 2, verse 23. He continues, he says, I will show love to those I called not loved. And to those I called not my people, I will say, now you are my people. And they will reply, you are our God. So this day of restoration, do you know what he's referring to? Mentioned in the last day, this time, he goes, I'm going to win her back. We're going to be together again, right? Happily ever after. The reason these love movies and stories are so popular because it images the story of history. The purpose of mankind to be reunited with Christ and God. There is such a thing as happily ever after. But it's not about a husband and wife growing old together. It's about us spending eternity with God. Being loved, being accepted. The genuine longings of our heart that were meant to be filled with Him that we look to other places for. And the scripture points to this last day, and we see that in Revelation 21. Tell me if you can see the similarities here where he said, I'm going to wipe the names of your ex-lovers off your lips, and you will be now called my people. Listen to the similarity here when God brings heaven to earth and we share intimacy and relationship with him forever. He says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Look at this imagery, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. That's how excited God is to be united with you. It says, I heard a shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. This is beautiful. Imagine a spouse being reunited with their partner after looking for love in the wrong places, being hurt and used and abused, and comes back to where they belong, and it says, I will wipe every tear from their, I'm just going to say her, I will wipe every tear from her eye, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Chapter 3, verse 1. So again, in Hosea's story, he's supposed to love his spouse with the same love that God has. He was told, go and love your wife again. Take her back. Even though she commits adultery with another lover. For this will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel. That the Lord still loves his people while they are still sinners. Christ still loves you. Even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. Chapter 3, verse 5 of Hosea says that the people will return and devote themselves to the Lord their God. and to David's descendant, their king. In the last days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. You see, there was a promise made from the very beginning that there was an offspring of Adam and Eve who would crush sin and death forever. And this is a nod to that. Saying that they will return to this descendant, this king in the last days who will come for them. And it will be so wonderful and so beautiful. And this is the imagery of the knight going to slay the dragon to win the princess. And it is so wonderful and so beautiful that we will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. Does the gospel make you tremble? It should. And here's the gospel, Romans 5:8. That God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Okay, this is the part of the movie where the man runs after the train or the bus or the flight saying, "I can't let you go. I am pursuing you. I am chasing after you because I love you." And Ephesians, in that passage that we'll look at next week about husbands and wives, and we get so caught up in the roles, and man, and I've seen so many people share the same perspective on that chapter I have, and yet they don't live it out. There's so much inequality and hurt in marriages. And we miss this in that the foundation of any marriage has to be this, that Christ loved the church and he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean. We're not talking about taking someone who has their hair a little messy and helping them fix their hair. We're talking about Hosea and his wife, who's living in the slums and streets, having children with random men. Okay, this is a messy situation. We are in a messy situation in our sin before God. And yet, he gives up his life to make us holy and clean. He washes us by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present us to himself as a glorious church without a spot, without a wrinkle, or any other blemish. Does that sound good? Not even a wrinkle. Instead, we will be holy and without fault. I almost can't believe it. But it's true. And God's eyes, through Jesus Christ, we're the perfect spouse. He's all as excited as that wedding day when he watches us come down the aisle. Next slide, please. So, turn to Hosea chapter 14. We're going to end with four slides showing verses of these four items. This is what you can apply to your life, and this is what you can share with others. Okay? They too can be on this path of a love story with God. It starts out in chapter 14, verse 1. This is the last chapter of Hosea. It says, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord and say to him, 'Forgive all our sins and graciously receive us, so that we may offer you our praises.'" So that first step, even from Hosea's mouth, and we see it all over Scripture, is to come before God and just say, "I've sinned. I've gone astray. I've messed up. I acknowledge that." You ignore that. Okay, you come back in the house and you don't acknowledge with your spouse what's happened. It's going to stick in your gut. You got to bring it out and say, "God, I have sinned." Verse 4. As you open yourself up, you open yourself up for healing. For the Lord will say, "Then I will heal you of your faithlessness. For my love will know no bounds. For my anger will be gone forever." Man, our world needs healing like that. Chapter 14, verse 8. It says, "Then delete the phone number of your ex. Don't go back to it. For you're meant to live with the Lord." It says, "O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers. I care for you." Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the Lord comes to bring us life and life abundantly. Even when we left him, he continued to care for us, sustaining us with every breath we drew. We thought it was on our own accord and our own ability, or we gave it credit to the things we were pursuing. But no, God gave you your daily bread. He gave you your daily breath. He kept that heart beating again and again and again, even while we ignored him, even while we were still sinners. And not only did he sustain us, but he redeemed us, saying, "I'm going to win her back, even if it takes laying down my life to do it." And he did it, for God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Is it unfair to ask you to love your spouse like that? Yes. Was it unfair that Christ loved us like that? Yes. Chapter 14, verse 9. We have a happily ever after with the Lord. We can enjoy him forever. And this is the closing verse of all of Hosea. It says, "Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. For the paths of the Lord are true and right. And righteous people live by walking in them." So if you live by walking in them, what if you don't? It says, and the paths of sinners stumble and fall. Are you walking in that path? Hand in hand with Jesus, the lover of your soul. If you say no, then follow this path. Let's bring it up again. If you advance the slide one more time, follow this path. Talk to him about what's going on in your life. Where is there any separation? Talk to him about that. Admit that. Let the healing wash over you. Let it in, for he loves you. A lot of people hide from the Lord, just as Adam did from the very beginning when he sinned. And a lot of people stay busy because they don't want to slow down and talk with him. But I guarantee you, if you spend more than 5 seconds slowing down to talk to him, you'll realize that his hand stretched towards you, his running after you, is not to harm you. It is to heal you. If you walk down that path just enough, you'll realize that after confession, after we address the sin, there is freedom and there is peace for the people of God. He wipes away every tear from your eye. Promises no more pain, no more sorrow, no more shame. I'm going to ask, I don't have this slide up here, but would you be willing to go back to that Revelation slide? I think that would be a good one to end on. As we enjoy our relationship with God forever, I want to read this to us one more time. This can be your love story. That through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can approach God like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And God will shout, he is now with his family. He gets to live with them. They will be his family forever. And in that moment, we'll think back of the time of separation we had with him. And there will be some tears in our eyes. And he will wipe them away and he'll say, you're home now. You're safe now. For I will take care of you. I will protect you. I accept you and I love you. With intensity, with passion. Those things that hurt you for so long, they are gone forever now. The world needs this message. We usually emphasize to confess your sin and stay away from idols. But the world also needs to hear that there is healing for them. And they also need to hear that there is an enjoyable relationship with God forever. This grips our hearts as a church. I think our marriages will be strengthened. So we're called to love with the love of God. That is unfair. But it was unfair to God. That's what makes it worth trembling in awe of His goodness. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, I thank You that You love us. More than anyone has ever loved in a marriage. I thank You that You yearn for us to the point that You are willing to lay down Your own life for us. And I thank You that You accept us, that You heal us, that You wipe away the tears from our eyes. Lord, as last week we looked at wounds we might have in our life, Lord, this week remind us that You have healed those wounds. Lord, You were crushed and beaten for our iniquities. By Your stripes we are healed. So I claim the blood of Jesus over this place and over these people. Let us walk in joy with You, our bridegroom forever. In Jesus' name, amen.